Hey, before you leave, can I ask one more question if you have a few minutes?
Totally.
And this is so I don't know that this will be like podcast stuff, but when I was reading through your article, it stuck out to me because this is something that has I've been noticing this for a little while now. Yeah. So what we believe about the Bible, I'm very curious to just hear your opinion, not stance, but just your thoughts on this. The Manual of Doctrine and Government, in the Accents and Issues series, it says what we believe about the Bible. We believe that the Old Testament should be interpreted through the lens of the New Testament while affirming the integrity of the whole Bible as God's written word. Now, I can get behind that 100%. The thing is, though, I feel like that's not quite enough. Because, and I'm just looking for your thoughts. I feel like, yes, the Old Testament should be interpreted through the lens of the New Testament, but the New Testament, its context was the Old Testament. So it goes both ways. And I just feel like our statement doesn't really reflect that. I don't know. Yeah. Did you ever have any thoughts on that? Or,
yeah. I mean, I obviously I wasn't around for the for the writing of the statement, but if I can guess, just from my awareness of theologically where we're at, I think the background this comes out of is the idea that the Bible is not a flat document. Some traditions kind of embrace it as it is, where if I could find a scripture about it, then I have justification to do it.
Like proof texting.
Yeah, proof texting.
Yeah, okay.
And you can find, I'm not saying that the Bible necessarily endorses this, but you can find, if you just search through the Old Testament somewhere, you could find a statement like, go kill those people. I mean, and then people will run wild with that and they'll say, well, you know, the scripture authorizes that, so therefore we should go to war with so and so or whatever, or you know, therefore I'm able to, you know, kill with impunity for self-defense reasons or something like that. So I think where that's coming from is this sort of Anabaptist reading that says that there are commands that have been modified, or this a technical term called abrogated, through Jesus's teaching. The food laws is a great example of this. Biblically, if you were to say the Bible's a flat document, shouldn't eat pork, but Jesus says you can. So there's a modification that happens in the New Covenant era that I think this statement is sort of getting at. But you make a good point that this is the New Testament is not a non-Jewish document,
right?
I mean, I think running through off of my head, right? So Paul is writing to Gentile audiences, but he himself is Jewish. Then you have the Gospels. There's debate on who these are written to and why they're written, but I think at the very least, you can make a convincing argument that Matthew and John are written to some sort of Jewish audience. Luke is written to Gentiles. Mark, maybe. There's some like Latinisms that are in there that suggests he might be writing to Romans, but we don't know. Revelation seems to be fluent with Judaism. So
yeah,
there's a context there that's important to value, especially because as a people group, historically, Christianity has unfortunately had some anti-Semitic tendencies that I think come from not recognizing that rootedness. So I'd be in favor of us bringing that out more. I do think it's important to stress that Jesus's teaching is kind of more authoritative, I guess. Not to make a scripture within the scripture thing, but Hebrews does mention that God disclosed himself through the prophets in many ways, but he has revealed himself most fully through his son. There is that. But we do need to preserve that background a little bit, if simply to avoid anti-Semitism. But also, I mean, these are debates that are happening within a Jewish worldview. Mm-hmm. And we inherit those texts from outside of that worldview.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking, like, you know, I forget how the Bible Project puts it, but it's like, mm-hmm. their slogan is like, basically all of scripture points to Jesus. And I agree. I would affirm with that. I'm about to start a series on Revelation, and I'm like, I can't do a series on Revelation the way it should be done without, like if I ignored the Old Testament context, I might as well not do it. You know?
Yeah.
So Scott, I just feel like
just came out with a good book on Revelation.
Yeah. I don't know. I've read that statement a few times. It's come up a few times, and I thought, I like it, but I feel like there's another phrase or sentence that ought to be in there that reflects this, you know,
if I may, I think the doctrine of progressive revelation can help us with this a little bit here as well, because the fact that we read the Old Testament through the lens of the New Testament means that we have a fuller revelation of God in the New Testament through the person of Jesus, right? So we have, it's like one of the most full revelations of God is in the person of Jesus. What some have done, and like Marcy on way back, you know, in the way early on, meant that, oh, the Old Testament doesn't matter then. Mm-hmm. If the New Testament is what we're supposed to be looking at and supersedes and thus, you know, replaces the Old Testament, that's not necessarily what this statement is saying. We affirm the integrity of the whole Bible. Just because the revelation isn't as full or complete in the Old Testament doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means that it's more partial. So, saying that we interpret through the lens of the New Testament while affirming the integrity of the whole Bible as God's written word, I think does a good job of saying the Old Testament still matters because it is all still God's word, all still revealing the same God. We just see it more fully in the New Testament. So that way, whenever we see something in the Old Testament, we're like, well, what exactly does that mean? Well, reading it through the lens of the New Testament, we have more context and embodied representation of what this means. And so we can interpret it more fully there. So I think it does a good job of saying the Old Testament still matters. Doesn't necessarily go into the Jewishness of the document, but I think the doctrine of progressive revelation helps us to see how, just how important the Old Testament is. And that it's still right. I mean, you look at the directive to Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. That is such a broad directive, and to, you know, care for the earth. And then you get to the Noahic covenant, and then you get to the Mosaic covenant, and then you get to one like a version with like David, and it just, each one grows in specificity of the character and desires and will of God and his desires for his people. They just keep growing and growing in specificity until you get to Jesus. You're like, oh, this is what this all means. This is what it's talking about. So it's not that those, it's that while we're not bound by those previous covenants and laws, we can see how they reveal what we're getting to with Jesus. And then it just all kind of makes sense. So yeah, that's just for what it's worth, tossing it in there.
Yeah.
So, man. Yeah. You're in for an interesting boat with your Revelation series. I'm curious what you're covering, because my experience in the past has been when people try to preach on that book, they do like the letters and then they just skip to the end.
Yeah. We're going to skip chapters 7 to like 19. And then we'll just...
right.
No. So I was very upfront with everybody, and I just said, I don't know everything. I'm going to be learning, you know, along the way with all of you. This is kind of a journey we're all on. Mm. However, my approach is going to be, I'm interested in what is the Old Testament context that John is using, and why did it matter enough for him to use it in that way? Mm-hmm. And is there something there for us today? Which I think there probably is. There is, in the overall sense of the whole book. But yeah, I've said to the congregation, like, we can't, contrary to maybe what I've been taught and others have been taught, like, you cannot hope to understand Revelation without at least trying to understand John's context of the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. So yeah. it's a big thing. I don't know if this is going to be like a, we spent about a year and a half or so on John, 60 parts. So I don't know if it'll be that long. maybe I'll try like a 1 week per chapter kind of thing and not feel the need to go verse by verse and just kind of zero in on some of the Old Testament language that I think is would be useful to explain. Yeah. And but anyway, I don't know about you, but in our context here, Left Behind and that kind of stuff was a big deal. And mm-hmm. you know, I know people that would say, you mean there's other ways to read Revelation? Mm-hmm. Well, I never heard that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not looking to go into like super scholar mode, mm-hmm. but
this book, Revelation for the Rest of Us by Scott McKnight, is what is the book. I actually have not read it yet. Yeah. Okay. But I saw, I'll wait till he comes back.
Looks like he's seeing if he's got
it looks like you got plenty of books there, Scott.
So, but
yeah,
this
Revelation
it?
For the Rest
do
of
I
Us looks like it? One that I saw a podcast where he was being interviewed about that particular book, and it seemed like a perspective that our church could really use. I'm actually thinking about doing Christians have such a fascination and obsession almost with Revelation, mm-hmm. but they approach it from such a
it's
with a newspaper in one hand, Bible in the other kind of a thing. And
right,
it just,
like it's
not
a roadmap to what's going to happen in the end times. And it's like, well, wait a minute.
but this book seems to approach it from a very good perspective. That is a little bit aimed more for the common man like myself.
Yeah. I may have that. Most of my resources are in Logos Bible software.
Okay.
But I do have a nice little stack of books here. Reading Revelation Responsibly by Michael Gorman. Reading Revelation by Joseph Trafton. Reading Revelation in Context, John's Apocalypse and Second Temple Judaism mm-hmm. by a bunch of different people. Left Behind or Left Befuddled? I thought that'd be funny.
Oh, man. That sounds like a Jeopardy category.
Yeah. And then in case I get any questions, because it's probably going to happen, with the Counterpoints series, I have the Rapture, three views on the Rapture, three views on the Millennium, and four views on the Book of Revelation.
Little light reading.
Mike Heiser's The Old Testament in Revelation is also very helpful.
Yeah.
He has a whole podcast series on that.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, when it comes to your preaching.
Yeah.
Can't get super technical, but if you're interested, person's last name is Collins, blanking on their first name, but they wrote a book called The Apocalyptic Imagination, and it's all about apocalypticism in Second Temple Judaism. And that's mm-hmm. helpful for just background. What even is this weird genre that John's writing in?
Say that again. What was that called?
The Apocalyptic Imagination. I think it's by Collins. Yeah.
John Collins, JJ Collins. Yes, okay.
Yeah, because there's another Collins that writes other stuff. But
that sounds familiar. I might actually have that in Logos.
Okay,
but
that's a great book for background stuff.
Okay,
just so you could see what the genre is.
Very cool. Thank you.
Of course.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so I was just bringing that up with the what we believe about the Bible statement. I've just always felt like I agree with it. I feel like it could be worded a little better just to kind of reflect that. So I don't know. I know you're not it's not your responsibility to rewrite that or anything. I was just curious to hear your thoughts.
Yeah.
So
who better to ask than a theologian in residence?
Yeah. Exactly. Why not? You're the only one. So
yeah. Now I needed to, I probably should have prefaced with, I'm a New Testament person. So I sort of can ignore the question, but I really can't.
No, you can't. I mean, when the New Testament talks about the scriptures, for the most part, it's talking about the Old Testament. So,
right.
Yeah. So I can ignore the stuff about where the Pentateuch comes from, but
yeah.
But the background's important. It explains a lot of what's going on there. So,
yeah.
Including the donkey. by the way, Ryan.
Including the donkey, Zechariah 9:9. The donkey. That's right.
Including the donkey.
Yeah. Well, that's where I preached most of that sermon from, was the prophecy in Zechariah 9:9.
So, okay, yeah.
I believe it was 9:9, but anyway.
9:9.
Cool.
Yeah. Thank you, Matthew. Appreciate it.
Of course.
Yeah, man.
Thank you all so much. This has been fun.
Yeah, dude. I'm looking forward to seeing more of these deeper things as they come out.
I was just going to say, maybe we ought to have him back on the next time he does another one and kind of go through that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys can drill me on pietism, which I don't know as much about. So,
yeah.
Well, and I think that one, that's the one I know least about too. And I think that one's one of the harder to pin down, I feel, to define. So I'm super curious to see some of your writing on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where I'm at so far is, it's harder to pin down historically because it's more of like a posture than a movement.
That will be, yeah. Well, I think that's going to be so helpful for people, for our listening audience, as well as, you know, your audience for the publication.
Yeah.
I feel like we can do a little cross advertising for each other.
Yeah.
Like similar goals.
Yeah. So. Speaking of which, I'm going to be speaking briefly this week at the Great Lakes Conference annual meeting. So is it okay if I mention that you guys do this?
We would love it. Beneficial for our members. We would absolutely love it.
Yes.
And if I may ask, what are you speaking on?
Well, very briefly, just who am I?
Okay.
Because I've been serving in this capacity since between the last conference and now.
Right.
So most folks know kind of who I am, but they haven't seen my face. So.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, I was just wondering because, you know, we're getting to the point where we have a very small audience, Matthew. Mm-hmm. It's an organic start. I mean, you get it with the deeper stuff. We're not like blasting information to people and all this kind of stuff. So we're not official either. So the Brethren in Christ isn't going to like put us on the Instagram page or, you know, on the monthly newsletter or whatever.
We're
just very organically growing our audience. So yeah, any words you can put in would be great. But we're also getting to the point where I would like to, for instance, I was actually just, Scott, I didn't even get to tell you this. I was just invited to go to Roxbury this summer to co-host a breakout session with someone else about BIC World Missions and stuff. And I'm going to be bringing my phone or maybe even my whole computer and microphone set up and everything and see if we can just record that breakout session and we can use it as an episode of the podcast. But what I'd love to do is, you know, there are talks that happen. We had an interview with three church planters in the Atlanta Conference during our meeting, and I would have loved to have recorded that and put that on our podcast as a podcast episode. But we're getting to the point where now, like, I would love to be able to do that and be able to get stories from different conferences. And one of the things we wanted to do with this podcast was to get have a shared experience with amongst the conferences and kind of a uniting experience, like something we all have a shared experience together to talk about and things like that. And so we want to keep highlighting stories from other conferences and stuff. And so if you know of like a thing coming up or a talk during the general conference, somebody's going to be talking about a certain subject or whatever. And it's like, hey, can I set my phone with its audio recording app just on the podium in front of you and just hit record? And then you just do your thing. And then you can email us the file and we'll make it a thing, like an episode.
Or just, you know, let us know who and what and where and how to get in contact, and we can Zoom.
We can Zoom or whatever. As well. Yeah, we're just, and along with any other just like cool stories happening within a conference, we would love to, Scott and I are both Atlantic Conference. We've branched out a little bit into Susquehanna. Mm-hmm. We've got a friend, we just had someone on from California who's out in the Pacific Conference. Actually the daughter-in-law of Lynn Thrush. I'm friends with the Thrushes from college. So we're branching out a little bit, and then you hear from Great Lakes, and we just love to be able to let people know about this resource and to make this resource better.
Yeah.
You know, not just to like increase the listenership, but we want this to be better and serve the whole denomination if at all possible. So,
Our, I'll keep that in the back of my mind because there's some good work going on here in our conference. Are you all connected? Do you have any connections with the Historical Society?
As a podcast or just as individually?
Some good stuff too. That might be worth just like individually that like you could call people on from that because they do some cool stuff too that might be worth documenting in an audio format too, rather than just print.
Yeah, I really should. I like some of the publications that I've seen come out of the Historical Society, and we had as guests a couple of historians with Dr. Manzula Thomas and Dr. Weaver Zerker and got to have some great conversations with them. But that's, you're always looking for source material.
Yeah,
for sure.
Awesome.
Cool.
Coolness. Matt, thanks so much, man. Appreciate having you on.
Of course. Thank you all for the invitation. Happy to be
you
here.
Bet.
Yeah, dude. Right. Scott, good to see you again, friend.
Yep. You too. Take care, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the BIC Life Podcast. Brethren in Christ, churches exist to follow Jesus, serve others, and make disciples. If you're looking for more information about the BIC denomination, or if you're looking for one of our local churches, head over to BICUS.org. And if you'd like to get in touch with us at the podcast, you can do so by emailing us at BICLifePodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.